Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of Matthew 26 as the text today. We used to live next to a man named I.B. Adams, a very scary man. We were all afraid of him. He had a bunch of older sons who were all big and mean, and they were people we were scared of at school, too. You realize this is coming from my point of view. He probably was a very nice man, but he hand-painted on his mailbox his name, but it was sort of squiggly, so it came out I-B-A-D-A-M-S, and it scared us, too. It just, we were scared of him. But the thing of it is, right across the fence and about 100 yards into his pasture, he had this beautiful fishing pond, and we were sure that it was filled with big fish. And we caught bullhead and bluegill, nothing else. So we decided we would sneak across that pasture and fish in that pond, my brother Bob and I. Always getting me in trouble. So we waited, because we're not dummies. We waited till I.B. drove his truck away from the farm, and we scooted across that pasture with our tackle boxes and our fishing rods. And sure enough, we were catching catfish, we were catching bass, time of our life, but we heard this rumble in the distance, and there came I.B. with his old beat-up pickup truck down the road, and we were scared. So we jumped behind the pond dam, and we knew he would just drive by and go to his house about a half mile down the road, but he didn't. He turned into the pasture. His hobby, which he did all the time, was he hunted coyotes with big, mean dogs. Everything he had was mean. Well, that truck was jammed full of his dogs, and we were hiding behind the dam of, well, never mind. Occurred to me there's another word there that goes together, but, and we could hear the truck coming towards the pond, and we could hear the dogs howling and barking and growling, and I looked at Bob, and I knew we were going to die. So I said, as gently as I could, this is all your fault. I mean, you got to say something nice, but no, we knew we were in the wrong place at the wrong time. Turns out I.B. went past us and we never got caught. And when he disappeared, we shot across that pond in that pasture in record time. We may have jumped the pasture fence, I don't know. But the feeling of being in the wrong place at the wrong time is one that plagues us every now and then. Our text is about a man who was in the right place at the right time. A certain man, that's all we hear of him. We don't know anything about his history. We don't even know his name, but he had his place. The upper room where the Last Supper was held disappears from history after this one event. We don't really know where it is either. People have speculated, but we're not sure where it is. What we do know is that this man got a gift that is rare in the world. He was in exactly the right place at exactly the right time. The disciple said to him, "The master needs a room, and we want your room." And the startling thing about all of this was that Jesus knew the man would be there. Right place, right time. Very powerful thought. Of all the questions that I have of God, this one always is close to the top. Am I in the right place at the right time? It comes up whenever I have a decision to make. Is this the right thing for me? Is this the right time for me to do whatever the decision is? When there are sudden changes in my life, I wonder if it's the right change for me. And it really happens when some trouble looms and I am scared or just a little nervous or worried. Is this supposed to be happening to me right now? And a part of what I'm thinking when I have some trouble is that even if I have to keep the trouble, it's easier if I know it's the right thing for me. If I'm supposed to be here, right now, am I in the right place at the right time? There is a very grave danger. You get mixed up. Judas Iscariot was a chosen disciple, handpicked by Jesus to be one of the chosen 12, one of the apostles, but he did not see it at the right place. And he went away. And Jesus said this horribly terrible thing about him. It would have been better had he never been born. Sin's a very powerful pull. Jesus gave him a warning that what he was doing, Jesus was aware of, and it went unheeded. For 30 pieces of silver, Judas threw his life away. According to justice laid down by God, my place ought to be right with Judas. Because, you know, sometimes I go the wrong way, and I know it's the wrong way. I rarely in my life have ever sinned accidentally. I saw that fishing pond across the way, and I knew I could get in trouble, but the lure, the pull was too much. Sometimes we go the wrong direction. There's a power of sin to tempt us that is just overwhelming in its ability to make us go the wrong way. Is it possible that we could have that judgment from Jesus? Would it be better if we had never been born? Have you ever felt that way about your life? What is your place anyway? I want to show you how to find the answer to that important question, but you got to start somewhere else. You cannot answer the question until you know the part chosen for Jesus. He said, "My time is at hand." This was his time, and this was his place. They didn't know, but he did. If they were ever going to have a glass of wine with him in heaven, then he would have to find a way for that to be, and it had to be him on the cross. Couldn't be anybody else. It had to be him on the cross. The peace of the world is getting you out of trouble. The peace that Christ gives is getting trouble out of you. I once needed some kind of saying, and Tommy pulled that out of his pocket on a note card and handed it to me. It's a quote of Martin Luther. Who knew our DCE has Martin Luther quotes? He probably has one back there now. I don't know. Very impressive. The peace the world gives is getting you out of trouble. The peace that Christ gives is getting trouble out of you. What we need to know is the truth that eluded Judas. The cross is where the promise was kept. And, you know, I saw something on the news yesterday morning, I guess it was. Even the enemies of Christ know this is true. There was an Al-Qaeda gathering in Yemen that they videotaped and they put on the news, and they used it as kind of an announcement to the world that they're strong and healthy. And they say, this guy named Al-Wahuheshi. Someone say Gesundheit. I'm sorry. Anyway, he's a second in command in Yemen, and he said this amazing quote. He said, "We must eliminate the cross. The bearer of the cross is America." He knew something that we forget sometimes: the power, the authority, the truth, the gospel, the message we have from the church is always the cross. It's finally how you answer the hard question about what your place is. My first definition of my place in the world is that it is my treasure, and it stays true all of the time. My place is to be loved by God. That is your first answer to any question about any event in your life. It happens that some trouble comes your way, or some burden overwhelms you, or some news staggers you. Your first statement back to it is, God loves me. What is your place? The cross is the payment that God made to bring you into his family. You are in the family of God. On this night, we celebrate the gift of the Lord's Supper. Jesus surely knew that we would wonder about our place with God. So at this Last Supper, he gave the disciples a promise of his presence. This bread that you see, this wine that you taste, this is my body, this is my blood. Surely he knew that we would constantly need a renewal of our hope, a renewal of our faith, a growing of our strength to follow his way. And he gave us this gift. Do not be afraid. Do not worry if you have made a mess of your life. If you have asked questions about your place or wondered about why you are where you are, if the first thing you shout out when you have a trouble is not, "God loves me," but, "Why is God doing this?" God knows our weaknesses. God knows that we struggle to be what we should be. He gives us words to say in those times, and the words are so powerful. Shout out, "God loves me," even if it's just to your inner self. That's the words that change everything. In Holy Communion, he feeds me, but there is more. They would gather again in heaven, he said. In that one sentence is such a great promise. He made dinner plans with his disciples in paradise. Surely they must remember that every now and then, when things were the darkest and things looked the bleakest and when their lives were most in danger. Surely if two of them were together, one of them would turn and say, "Remember when he said we'd have a glass of wine in heaven?" It must have been an amazing promise. He gave him one more help. He gathered them together and gave his last words to them. He gave them their purpose for life. He said, go make disciples of all nations. He gathered those 12 together to begin the next and last phase of the age of the earth. They were to begin to build a church that would fill the world, and then it would be filled with others who would know that they were loved by God and that they were invited to have a glass of wine at a dinner with Jesus in heaven. The answer you seek for those questions about your place and your time is here and now. God put you in now. God placed you here, and he promises to be with you. He has work for you to do, to grow his church in some way. And what he did in this congregation, that he does in every Christian congregation around the world, he put a gathering of people that were different from one another, but they were the people we need in this place, in this time. God gifted this church with you because he is blessing us with your presence to do your work for him. He loves you. Oh, one other thing. He made reservations for dinner with you someday soon, too. So it turns out that you have a place with the Lord for all of time. That is your place. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, by the peace of God, which passes all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen.